Thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Leviticus 26, verse 8, and then Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. And then later on, we are going to share Matthew 18, 19, and then Exodus 3, 15, if we have enough time. I do have to travel to Orlando this afternoon, and I have to be there by 6 o'clock our time so that I can, so we can minister. We're really excited about everything that the Lord is doing down there. Continue to pray for us. The Lord will bless us and lead us and guide us. We have a lot of favor. We just started our television broadcast down there in Orlando, and it's actually going into 1.5 million homes. This channel is 1.5 million homes. It represents almost 5 million people in the area that are actually able to see our broadcast now. And so just believe with us that we'll be able to minister to people, connect with people, and bring the word of life that will help deliver people and set them free in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I want to minister a message. And I've never actually ministered a message. I have mentioned this principle before, but never have I actually ministered an entire message on this ever since we've even started the church. And the title of this message is called Synergy. Everybody say Synergy. Now, very interesting, we are starting our Synergy service tonight. We actually will launch that service. I want to encourage everybody who can come out and be a part of that service. As a matter of fact, Pastor Jason is actually going to be preaching and ministering in the service tonight. It's going to be great. It's going to be powerful. And he has to leave on Wednesday to go back to Korea. We wanted him to have an opportunity to minister for us before he went back to Korea. And so come out tonight and hear Pastor Jason. And in the Synergy service, we're going to have different people throughout our congregation minister at different times. Next Sunday evening, we're going to have Greg and Julie Bailey here, all the way from Australia. And you don't want to miss it. It's going to be some very, very powerful services. In Leviticus 26, verse 8, let's read here. It says, 5 of you shall chase 1,000, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. It's very interesting when you read this particular scripture, it doesn't say 5 of you chase 100, and 100 of you, which is of course 20 times, it's 20 times the amount of people that you begin with, will chase, 2,000. He says that 100 of you are actually going to cause 10,000 to be put to flight. And it says that your enemies will fall by the sword before you. And then in Deuteronomy 32, verse 30, it says this: how could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them? I know you've heard this said before, and we've quoted this. One will put 1,000 to flight and two will put what? I've made reference to this scripture before, and I've even spoken of it before in relationship to husbands and wives, because I do believe the greatest team that God ever placed on planet Earth was the team of a husband and a wife together. And there's something that begins to take place whenever a husband and a wife begin to come together, whenever a team begins to come together, and they begin to function in the unity of the Spirit. And they begin to actually activate the principle of synergism. What happens is this: me by myself, I can only put 1,000 to flight. My production, my productivity, what I could actually do myself has limitations. However, whenever I add my wife with me and we begin to labor and work together, there's something that begins to take place where our efforts are multiplied and we have multiplied effectiveness. So whereas I by myself, I could only put 1,000 to flight, and Pastor Stacy by herself could only put 1,000 to flight, the reality is whenever both of us begin to come together, whenever we get on the same page and we begin to labor together and begin to work together, we multiply our effectiveness. And let me say it like this. She is then worth 9,000 to me. And by the way, I'm worth 9,000 to her. You know, just from this alone, can you see why the devil hates godly marriages and godly homes today? That's one of the reasons that I believe the greatest front that we are fighting on as far as the church and the nation at large is we are right now fighting, hear this, for marriages the way that God designed marriages to be and the way that God designed marriages to operate. Think about this. If the enemy can cause there to be perversion or cause there to be splits, bring the spirit of division and divorce into marriages and into homes, what he does is he reduces our effectiveness and keeps us from fulfilling everything that God desires for us to fulfill. You know, that's one of the reasons that on our vision statement that we have, that you see actually posted out here in the lobby area, it says, equipping believers, and what's the second thing? Everybody shout it out. The second thing is building families, because we believe that it is of the utmost importance that we build strong families. When Damon Thompson was here back in February of 2012, he began to prophesy over this house, and he said, one of the primary assignments that God has given to this house of the Lord, to this house of worship, is that there is an assignment that God has given you to raise up godly families. We believe that that is part of the initiative that God has given to us. And as a matter of fact, hear this, we cannot do that. Let me back up. We can't fulfill the next part of our vision, which is to further the kingdom of God, if we don't have strong families. Listen, how can we further the kingdom of God in the earth when our own families are disintegrating, when our own families are falling apart? Hear this, if our families are falling apart and our families are disintegrating, then we're no better off than the world. But the reality is, hear this, God's called us to be light, God's called us to be salt, and hear this, whenever people see you and your spouse out in public, they ought to be going, you know what, I don't know what they've got going on, but I want something that they have. You know what, they're in love with one another. You know what, they're functioning and flowing together. You know, they're not constantly at each other's throat. My friend, there should be something about our marriages and about our homes. I'm not saying that you won't ever have a disagreement, but I'm saying there should be something exhibited within your family and within your home that the world takes note of and they say there's something different about them. There's something different about the McCardle family. There's something different about the Cox family. There's something different about the Sanchez family. There's something different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's something different about the families of High Praise Worship Center. You know, the enemy attacks marriages. The enemy attacks families. And there's nothing more that the enemy would like to do than to destroy families and destroy homes. You know, it's one thing to have division within a church body. But I will tell you that whenever families begin to function in the way that they're supposed to function, you're not going to have division in the family and division in the home. There will be unity within the church whenever there's unity in the home. And as a matter of fact, if you can't have unity in the church, it's because there's not unity within the home. And we have to understand that God is the one who implemented this principle of spiritual synergism. Again, we see one chases 1,000 and two puts how many to flight? 10,000. We see in both of the scriptures that we read that this is a spiritual principle that God reveals in the Word of God. Let me define for you what synergy actually is. Synergy is derived from the Greek word synergia, and it literally means this, to work together, to work together. Look at somebody and say, we need to work together. The definition of it, again, that's the literal meaning of synergia, or what the Greek word literally means. But the English definition of synergy is this. It's the combination of two or more things that create an effect which is greater than the sum of both separately. I'll say that again. It's the combination of two or more things that creates an effect which is greater than the sum of both of them separately. That means this: 2 + 2 no longer equals 4. Instead, 2 + 2 = 40. It doesn't equal 4 anymore. Now it equals 40. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying whenever we begin to get together and whenever we begin to get a revelation of God's principles of synergism that He enacted, and we'll begin to activate that within our lives, all of a sudden our productivity in the kingdom of God begins to increase exponentially. No longer are we just striving to get something done. Because whenever we begin to work together, I want you to hear this, whenever you begin to work together, God gets involved in what you're doing. Because what the Bible says is that God always dwells in the place where there is unity. And whenever there's unity between a husband and a wife, whenever there's unity within a church body and they all begin to work together, you know what happens? God shows up. As a matter of fact, what it says over there in Psalm 133, it's in the place of unity that God causes the oil of anointing to flow. It's a place of unity that God causes, hear this, His commanded blessing. Look at somebody and say, commanded blessing. Let me say it like this. You're not having to pray for blessing. Blessing is being commanded upon you. You begin to walk supernaturally in the blessing of God solely because you are enacting spiritual principles that God initiated, called the principle of synergism. Again, that's the reason the devil fights marriages, he fights homes, he fights churches, and tries to bring division, tries to cause people to begin to go out and just do things by themselves. I don't know about you, but I've come to a place within my life, I don't want to do anything by myself. You know what? I've done some things by myself before, and I found out most of the time I wish I would have asked somebody to help me before I would have even got started. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Particularly if it's a construction project, which I don't get involved in too much. And you can thank God for that. But the reality is that if we're doing something around the house and I start to do something, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to go ask this woman here, my wife. And the reason that there's several reasons that I'm going to ask her to come and help me. Number one, if I do it by myself, it won't be right. Are there any men in the house? That's not the color I wanted. Well, praise the Lord. It sure has gotten quiet in this. But the reality is, if I go do it by myself, it's not going to be done right. And so I found it's much better if I just ask her. Because first of all, she has an eye for certain things and she has a knack for certain things that I just don't have. Now, what I do have a knack for doing is being able to look at a picture and I can see if it's the least bit crooked. And she needs that because she hangs the pictures and I have to go behind her. See, the reality is this, we all need one another. I want every husband and every wife that's in the building this morning to look at your spouse and say, I need you. Boy, that was very convincing. I want you to really look at them, and some of you, I could tell, took everything within you to say that, I need you. I need you. Yeah, I know what normally happens on Sunday morning before you get to church. I now know how it seems like sometimes every demon in hell tries to show up. And it takes everything within your power right now to say, I need you, but I want you to really look at your spouse and say, I need you. You weren't created to do it by yourself. God enacted a principle of spiritual synergism. And whenever he creates Adam, the first thing that God says, I want all the men to hear this, it is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for you to do things by yourself. It's not good for you to try to decorate the house by yourself. It's not good for you to try to move the furniture into the places where you think it ought to be by yourself. Is there anybody that's listening to me this morning? The reality is this, you need one another. And so God, when he creates Adam in the garden, he's, you know, he places him in the garden and he says, you know what, it's not good for Adam. You can't be by yourself. You need a helper. Because by yourself, you're only going to be able to produce at the 1,000 level. But I want you to have some greater productivity. You see, I want you to begin to see things from a little different angle. I want you to see it from just a different perspective. One of the reasons that God created Eve is because he wanted to increase exponentially Adam's ability to produce. And see what the devil wants to do many times, he wants you to begin to look at your spouse as that old ball and chain. No, she ain't no ball and chain. She's the one that will help you and will increase your productivity exponentially. Hallelujah. Look at somebody, but look at your spouse and say, you ain't no ball and chain. Y'all were a little bit more enthusiastic about that. See, one person working together with you causes your productivity to increase by 10 times. Now understand this, just because you work beside someone does not mean that you're pulling together. There must be a common unifying factor. Let me also say it like this, there's gotta be a rallying point. There's something that you are rallying around. There is something that is released in the spirit whenever we begin to come together for a common purpose. Whenever we begin to come together for one common purpose, for one thing that God has called us to do, when we corporately begin to come together and we're unified under a common purpose, a common goal, a common vision, there is something that begins to ignite in our midst. You know what? You can listen. You can experience the presence of the Lord, and you can experience Him speaking to you by yourself at your house. But I'm telling you, when all of a sudden 500 people assemble in one spot, and whenever 500 people begin to lift their hands and glorify God all at the same time, when all of a sudden 500 begin to come together, there is an explosion. There is an igniting of the power and the anointing and the presence of God. Hear this, that you can experience in no other way. You can't experience it by yourself. Let me say it like this. God's not going to give you a word of knowledge for yourself. Because understand this, gifts of the Spirit are not for you. They're always for somebody else. God releases gifts so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. They're not released so that you can be a blessing to yourself. Whenever I have my, you know, alone times with the Lord, I don't lay my hands upon myself and say, for the Lord would say. We don't prophesy to ourselves. The gift of prophecy is not so that you can edify yourself, it's so that you can edify the body of Christ. Are you getting this? That's the reason we need one another. You know, you don't get a word of knowledge for yourself. You get a word of knowledge for somebody else so that you can minister to somebody else. You know, that's one of the reasons, again, these are things that, you know, the enemy fights against. I see people many times begin to post stupid things on Facebook about how that it's not important. And I know that every one of us at some point in time have seen things like this of it's not really important. The church isn't really important, you know, as long as you love Jesus. I was thinking to myself, man, you just need to go read your Bible. Because the reality is, if you really love Jesus, you'll love his bride, the church. If you really love Jesus, then you're going to get planted and plugged in somewhere. If you really love Jesus, you'll be about ministering to the very heartbeat of God, which is his bride, the church. My friend, we got so many crazy things that people say. And understand this, just because something sounds good does not make it biblical. And just because something sounds good doesn't make it right. And I have heard people in pulpits, and I've seen people post things on Facebook that, you know, you go, well, that sounds good. But whenever you actually, you know, hold it up against the scrutiny of Scripture, you go, well, I know right now 10 scriptures that are totally different than what they're saying right there. I know 10 particular passages of Scripture that totally contrary to what they're saying there. And so what we have to understand is that, you know, there are things that are in the world right now that begin to fight against the family, fight against the church, fight against the unity. And why does the enemy fight against unity? Why does the enemy fight against marriages? Why does he fight to try to keep people out of church? It's because he wants to disable the principles of synergism from working within your life. The enemy, there's nothing more that the enemy would do and wants to do than make you an island to yourself. And I want you to hear this. It's been proven psychologically and scientifically. If you, as a matter of fact, we actually use isolation as a means of punishment for people. And it's been proven if you keep somebody alone by themselves for long enough, they end up going wacky. I'm not making that up. That's just been proven. There's all kind of things that begin to affect their minds in a negative manner whenever they're not with people. Husbands, I want you to hear this. God gave you that woman that you're married to. And the reason that God gave you that woman is because they are somebody that will help you stay on course. And by the way, ladies, God gave you that man that you're married to. And part of the reason that you're together is because he will also help you stay on course. And the reality is this, come here, baby. Whenever you hold, isn't she gorgeous? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Woo, hallelujah. Whenever you hold hands and you begin to walk together, you help keep each other, you keep each other on course. So that if I start to go out here, you know what she's going to do? Oh, yeah, she knows how to do that real good. You know what? And if all of a sudden she starts going out there, I can just gently nudge her. Praise the Lord. Y'all give Pastor Stacy a big praise God. We need each other. Look at somebody and say, we need each other. You see, this is what Jesus said, Matthew 18:19. Whatever two of you will agree as touching anything. Whew, what a powerful statement. Whatever two of you will agree as touching anything. And he goes on to say, it will be done. Whatever two of you will agree, whatever two of you will begin to activate these spiritual laws of synergy concerning, I am going to do it within your life. You know why? Because wherever two are gathered together in my name, that's where I'm at. When two or more are gathered, that's where I'm at. Not whenever you're just by yourself doing your own thing. But whenever there's two or more that's gathered together in my name, that's where I'm at. Let me say it like this. I'm going to say it in the nicest way I know how to say it. What Jesus is saying there is if you choose to be alone or you're going to be alone. If you choose to not connect with anybody, if you choose to not be involved with other people's lives, if you just choose, I'm just going to be by myself and I'm not going to have anybody, I don't need anybody, it's just Jesus and me, my friend, that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, wherever two are gathered together, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm going to show up at. I'm not saying the Lord won't be with you. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you won't have the manifestation of his presence and his power and his anointing like you will have it whenever you get with somebody else and you come into agreement on an issue. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to you. There's been times I've needed this woman to speak into my life and to encourage me. There's been times I wanted to throw in the towel, but hallelujah, she spoke the right word at the right time. And there's times that she's needed me whenever she wanted to throw in the towel, when she wanted to kill some people, but I held her back. I said, no, we're not going to do that, baby. Does anybody know what I'm, listen, I'm being real transparent here. There's times I wanted to choke some people. I don't understand that, Pastor. Well, you haven't pastored then. Or you haven't been a parent. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Just to let you know, I never put my hands around my kid's neck. I have to make sure everybody knows that. We love our children. I'm saying that as a euphemism, as a you know, just a, y'all understand what I'm saying. I was not literally going to go kill somebody. Pastor Stacy was not literally going to go. I have to qualify everything. We just say that kind of as a well, whatever. The point that I'm trying to make is this. We help one another. We temper one another. And God designed it that way. Why? So that we could see this spiritual law of synergism activated within our lives. I want you to understand that this is a kingdom principle. This is not a man-made principle. This is not a business principle, although it does work in business. This is a God principle. Look at somebody and say, this is a God principle. You have to understand that the devil is the author of division. God never created division. God is a unifier. However, understand this, in God's unifying process, he does not compromise principle. The devil and demons produce strife, division, and discord. Although we may see it sometime in the church, hear this, his first target is always the family. The enemy's first target is not the church. Is it? His first target is the family. Because hear this, a family will a church will never be any stronger than the families that church is comprised of. The church will never be any stronger than the families within that church body. Let me tell you what, we can preach and teach and we can minister in all sorts of ways. But the reality is this, if we're not strengthening families at the end of the day, we're not strengthening the church. You know what? You can know 7 principles for answered prayer, and you can know how to stir up the gifts, and you can know how to prophesy, and you can know all about the 5-fold ministry, and you can know about the quote-unquote deep things of God. But the reality is this, if we don't have strong families, we will not have a strong church. It is first and foremost on God's agenda. The first thing that God does, again, when he creates, in the very beginning, he creates a man, he creates a woman. He puts them in the garden and he gives them together a task. Look at somebody and say, together a task. The first thing that, and I want you to get a hold of this, you're gonna begin to see some things now. The first thing that God says to Adam and Eve is this, be fruitful and, be fruitful and, everybody shout multiply. I want you to hear this. It is an impossibility. It cannot be done. A man cannot multiply by himself. A woman cannot multiply by herself. That is the reason that God placed man and woman together. And he says, your first task that I'm giving to you is one, I'm showing you just right out of the gate that you have to depend upon one another. You've got to learn to work together because hear this, you can't do it by yourself, Adam. You don't have the equipment to have a baby. You can impregnate a woman, but you don't have the equipment to have a baby. And by the way, Eve, you have the equipment to have a baby, but you've got to have a seed before you're going to actually be pregnant. So the reality is this, you've got to enact my spiritual principles of synergism if you're going to fulfill the command that I gave you. You see, we can't fulfill destiny if we don't enact spiritual synergism. If we try to do it by ourselves, we can't do it. But if we'll begin to work together, if we'll begin to say, you take my hand, you take my hand, we're going to begin to work together, because there's something greater than just us as individuals. There is a call that God has to see the kingdom of God advance, and we're going to say in the name of Jesus, you're my brother, you're my sister, we're going to do it together, and we're going to see it accomplished in the name of Jesus. Can you give the Lord a shout today? Hallelujah. So the first thing he says, be fruitful and multiply. The next thing he says is subdue the earth and take dominion. Oh, hallelujah. I really believe that part of the reason that we haven't seen that happen yet, because by the way, that is still a commissioning that God has to man. You subdue the earth and take dominion. Church, subdue the earth and take dominion. Listen, we're not going to hand the United States of America over to the devil on a silver platter. We're saying the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein. We're saying let God be true and every man a liar. We're saying that every place that our foot treads, that God has given it to us. He's given it to the church. And we're going to rise up in power and strength and see the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he, Jesus, shall reign forever and ever. But right after be fruitful and multiply, what does he say? Hey, subdue and take dominion. Hear this. If we don't enact the principles of spiritual synergism, we'll never see that happen. And you know where it's going to start? It's going to start in homes and families. Next month, Pastor Stacy and I will celebrate our 34th anniversary. Praise the Lord. We're less than a month away. Let me tell you, she could get up here and tell you, and I could get up here and tell you, there are times we wanted to throw in the towel. There are times, I'm being just real transparent here, there's times that I probably made her so mad she wanted to spit nails. Now, y'all do know that she can't literally spit nails. That's just a phrase of speech. There are times that I'd get so upset, that's it, I'm leaving. Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm getting out of here. I'm the anointed man of God. And you dare talk to me that way. Pride, 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 pride. Y'all don't look at me in that tone of voice, because I know probably some of you have done the same thing. I've said this before. If she and I can make it work, I believe anybody can make it work. A lot of people, they look at us and they think, well, y'all just had it so easy. And it was just kind of like, skip to the loo, my darling. Y'all just kind of holding hands, kind of like Ken and Barbie, just going down. No, it wasn't Ken and Barbie. It was like G.I. Joe. It's like two wrestling figures. But the reality is, there are times we wanted to throw in the towel. There's times we wanted to give up. But you know what? I realized I had made a covenant with this woman. And I'm going to say this as nice as I can. But whenever I made covenant with her, I said, till death do us part, murder is not an option. That's it. We're done. I told our children the same thing. I said, I will not choose who you marry, but understand this. Once you say I do, you're done. Now, I'm not saying this to condemn anybody who's ever had a divorce or anything like that, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're married right now, dance with the one who brought you. Stay married. Do whatever you got to do to make it work. Get counseling. Get deliverance. There's no reason that two born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers cannot make it work. You know, I hear every time I turn around of another pastor and his wife is getting divorced, and, you know, the pastor's on their fifth and sixth wife, and I'm going, that something's wrong with the picture. And I'm not saying that to condemn anybody. I'm saying there's something wrong with that picture. How can we expect to have anything other than the congregation if we don't have it in the pulpit? And I recognize, you know what, I got to set the example. I know what God's called me to be. I know what God's called me to do. You know what? And I said, I do. And so I'm going to follow through with the covenant that I made with this woman. And she followed through with the covenant. You know, again, I'm just saying, why has the enemy attacked our marriage before? It's because he wanted to destroy the synergism that God wanted to be released within us. See, that's the reason Peter talks about this. He talks about how that there should be the proper relationship between a husband and wife. And this is what he says, so that your prayers will not be, so your prayers won't be. In other words, you've got to continue to operate in a synergistic manner, working together on the same page together, or else your prayers are going to be hindered. In other words, you reduce your effectiveness when you're not in unity and flowing in the manner and the way that God has desired for you to flow. Is anybody getting anything out of this today? You see, we have to understand that that's the desire of the enemy. I have one thing left to share this morning. Exodus 3:15, this is what it says. And God said to Moses again, you shall say this to the sons of Israel, Jehovah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Underline that, write it down. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title from generation to generation. I want everybody to hear this. God reveals himself as a God of generations. He is a God of families. He's a God of generations. And understand this, the devil hates generations serving the Lord together. The devil hates it when generations begin to come together and say, we're not going to allow the enemy to bring division in our family. We're not going to allow the enemy to bring division in our home and in generations. We are going to serve the Lord together. Look at somebody and say, we got to serve the Lord together. And the reason for that is this. It's because one generation puts 1,000 to flight. One generation puts 1,000 to flight, but two puts 10,000 to flight. You see, whenever generations begin to work together, there is once again a spiritual synergism that begins to be enacted that causes a greater release. You know, again, we've had folks before, unfortunately, and, one person particularly, they ended up leaving, getting mad, left the church, all because there's generations. Family members are working together. Yeah. Have you read the Bible? Have you read the Tabernacle of David? I don't know if you looked at about the Tabernacle of David, if it's Asaph and his sons. It's Jeduthun and his sons. It's Heman and his sons. You can see all throughout the Word of God where there's families that are working together, generations working together. Again, what happens is people begin to listen to demons and allow demons to begin to dictate their thinking whenever they don't realize that God is a God of generations. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not the God of just one generation. He's the God of generations serving the Lord together. It's not just about you. It's about your children. It's about your children's children. God is interested in your generations. Generations, hallelujah. Amen. One puts 1,000 to flight, but two puts 10,000 to flight. Daddy, come up here real quickly. Daddy, praise the Lord. Hope I didn't wake you up. Come on up here. Praise the Lord. I think he was surprised to hear me call his name. Praise the Lord. This is my daddy here. He just turned 73 years old. Yesterday. And he's been a wonderful father, continues to be a wonderful father. One puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000 to flight. One puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000 to flight. Kayla, come up here. This is my daughter. Somebody go get a grandbaby. One puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000 to flight. Three begin to put 100,000 to flight. Are you getting the picture? There's multiplied effectiveness whenever generations begin to serve the Lord together. There's an example that begins to be set for families. You know that if God can do it in my family, He can do it in your family too. If God can cause our family to serve the Lord together, He can cause the same to happen in your family. He's not a respecter of persons, and what He's done in one family, He'll do in every family. If we'll just reach out and believe God and say, "Yes, Lord, let it be done in my family. Let it be done in my home. Let it be done, Lord, in my household. Let it be done in my generations." Can you give God a shout today? See, today there's four of you, and I'll stand to your feet, four generations and just in our family. Over here, there's four generations that's represented in Paul and Michelle's family, and there's Gaga right here. Wave your hand, Gaga. That's 1,000 right there. Paul and Michelle. Y'all raise your hand. That's 10,000 right there. Will and Jennifer and Josh and Angela. Hallelujah. There's 100,000 right there. Since Caleb's in the nursery, we got one in the cooker right here. Hallelujah. There's your million right there. Hallelujah. 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, million. Hallelujah. See, He's a God of generations, folks. He's a God of generation. If we'll begin to understand this, generations work together. We're not against one another. We root for one another. We don't say, "I got to hold on to my place." No, we say, "Hallelujah. Come on, baby. Come on. Come on. Outrun me. I dare you. Go ahead and outrun me. I want you to run faster. I want you to go farther. I want you to do greater than what I ever accomplished." Can you give the Lord a shout today? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about generations. You know what? There's all kinds of people here. Bobby and MG, praise the Lord. I tell you, the more I'm in the anointing, the more I can't tell names. Bobby and MG, 1,000. Monet and Alexis, I'm sorry, I got y'all mixed up. Monet and Alexis, there's 10,000 right there. Where's Mama at? Mama's back there. I should start. There's 1,000 right there. There's 1,000 right there. There's 10,000 right there. There's 100,000 right there. Amen. I don't keep saying this because I think that you don't get it. I keep saying it to reinforce it. That we have to think generationally, folks. You know what? There's a generation that's coming up behind us. And the best thing that can happen is this. We link arms with the older generation. I don't care if they have a cane or not. We still link in arms with them. We'll drag them along if we have to. Right here, baby. And we link arms with the generation that's coming up. And then we link arm with the generation that's even under them. And we say, "We're going somewhere together." Amen. Come on, we're going to go together. We're going to go together. I ain't going by myself. You ain't going anywhere. We're going together. Hallelujah. God's called us to go together. We're not going to go. We're not going. Yeah, hallelujah. We're going to go together. Some of them may get a little unruly sometime, but that's okay. We're still going to go together. We're going to do whatever we got to do in order to go together. Amen. Give the Lord a praise this morning. Hallelujah.
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.